is called death of the carnal nature. And you may say, well, that sounds like a really heavy message. But there's so much beauty that comes from us putting our carnal nature to death. And this is actually a four-part sermon. This is actually four sermons in one. I spent over 12 hours in the preparation of it just yesterday. And so I will not be giving you those 12 hours today. Praise God. Father, we just lift up this time to you. May you speak through this individual today. May your anointing come, not only for the speaker, but for all those who are here and those who will hear it later on the podcast, O God. We thank you, O God, that you're giving us the nature of Messiah, that we do no longer have to live to our old carnal nature anymore. We can render that dead. That is the one part that we can actually go out and put to death. That is our own carnal nature. And I thank you, Lord, that you have not given me the assignment or anyone else that assignment to put one another's carnal nature to death, but you've asked us as individuals to put it to death. And in that, we can have freedom in Messiah. We can have unity in the body as never, ever experienced before. For your prayer, O Yeshua, was that we may be one, just as you are one with the Father, and that we may be all one, Father, of all the different tribes and nations that are assembled here, and that we'll hear this message, O God, that we can all be one in Messiah, respecting everyone's culture and heritage, but yet be one in Messiah. We give you all glory and honor and praise. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now let us turn to Olive Shumiel, that is 1 Samuel. Beginning at chapter 1. And just to give you a little background right here, this is a story. It starts out and it deals mostly with a woman and a woman's heart. This woman had been barren for many, many years. But in this, we see that although her heart could have became very, very bitter towards the Lord, she desired to serve God with her whole heart, mind, and soul. And when the Lord blessed her with the answer to her prayer, she gave 110% of that child to be dedicated to the service of the Lord. And some of us, we think, well, this man, Samuel, he was an awesome prophet, and he was. But I tell you this, who was there at the very beginning? Who prayed him into existence? But it was his mother. And it, when the time came for her to give him to the Lord, she impacted the nation of Israel. She impacted both King Saul and King David. And you know what? She also impacted you and I. All believers yet to come. And that's part of her legacy. These are some of the unsung heroes that are written in the scripture. And this woman truly had a spiritual nature about her. She did live in this world, and she faced trials and tribulation, but yet in spite of this, she was more than an overcomer in Messiah. Let us begin. There was a man from Ramathaim, Zophim, in the hills of Ephraim, whose name was Elkanah, the son of Yerakam, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zuf, from Ephrat. And he had two wives, one named Hannah, and the other one Pinnah. And Pinnah had children, but Hannah had no children. This man went up from his city every year to worship and sacrifice to Adonai Zavaot in Shiloh. The two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were Kohanim of Adonai there. One day while Elkanah was sacrificing, he gave a portion of the sacrifice to his wife Pinnah, and portions to each of her sons and daughters. But to Hannah he gave a double portion, because he loved Hannah. Even though Adonai had kept her from having children, Her rival taunted her and made her feel bad because Adonai had kept her from having children. Notice that. This was the will of Adonai, for her not to have children. Why did he do this? Because Adonai was working with her carnal nature. He wanted this woman to be a spiritual woman, to be seeking after the things of God, even though the promises of God was not being fulfilled in her life. Because the scripture says this, does it not? Be fruitful and multiply. And she could have either rebelled against the Lord in this matter, but she chose not to. She was faithful unto the Lord. He did the same every year, and each time he went up to the house of Adonai. She taunted her so much that she would cry and she would not even eat. Her husband Elkanah said to her, Hannah, why are you crying? Why aren't you eating? Why be so sad? Am I not better to you than 10 sons? So Hannah got up after they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh. And Eli the Kohen was sitting on his seat by the doorpost of the temple of Adonai. Remember, this is in Shiloh. This is not Jerusalem. In the deep depression, she prayed to Adonai and cried. Then she took a vow. She made a vow before the Lord. She said, Adonai Zabaoth, Lord of hosts, if you will notice how humiliated your servant is, if you'll remember me and not forget your servant, but will give your servant a male child, then I will give him to Adonai for as long as he lives, and no razor will ever come on his head. She is dedicating him not only to the Lord, but she's dedicating him to be a Nazarite all the days of his life. There are other famous Nazarites, are there not? Samson, John the Mikvist, and there are many, many others. And so not only was he to be dedicated to the Lord, but from the very point that he exited from his mother's womb, she was going to dedicate him to God. And a deep calling that he would serve all the days of his life. She had discernment. She knew what was going on in Israel that time. The people had entered into the land and they were following after the idols of the land. They were turning their hearts against the holy God. So she just not only wanted to dedicate this child to the Lord, but before he was even born, she was saying, Lord, I want him to walk in holiness. I want him to walk in sanctification even before he's born. If you will give me this blessing of having this son. So let us continue. For I will give him to Adonai as long as he lives, and no razor will ever come on his head. She prayed for a long time before Adonai, and as she did so, Eli was watching her mouth. Hannah was speaking in her heart. Her lips moved, but her voice could not be heard. So Eli thought that she was drunk. Remember who this Eli is. He is the head priest of the temple in Shiloh. But he's going by what he thinks. He's not going by the word of the Lord. And that's a testimony of what's going on right now. Because if he truly was a man of God, like Samuel became, he would inquire of the Lord. He would not go by his thoughts or his opinions, but he'd go by the mind, will, and the word of God. Let's continue. Eli said to her, how long are you going to stay drunk? Stop drinking your wine. Notice this earlier. She had dedicated him to be a Nazarite. A Nazarite was not to eat any type of grapes, no raisins, drink no wine all the days of their vow. Let's continue here. But Hannah answered, "No, my Lord. I am a very unhappy woman. I have not drunk either wine or other liquor. Rather, I've been pouring out my soul before Adonai. Don't think of your servant as a worthless woman, because I've been speaking from the depth of the distress and anger." Have you ever been angry? What are we supposed to do with that anger? Bring it before the Lord, that He may deliver us from our anger. She was doing what is proper here. She was having the Lord examine her carnal nature. Was she mistreated? Yes. Did she have a right opportunity to be angry? Absolutely. But what does the Scripture say? Do not let the sun go down on what? Your anger. Let's continue. Then Eli replied, "Go in peace. May the God of Israel grant you what you have asked Him." Notice he didn't inquire. He did not say to her, "I will agree in prayer with you." He just said, "Go on." Because I tell you this, women were not highly esteemed in that day. What were his thoughts? This woman is standing. I see her lips moving. But by all means, I've seen this many times before. This woman must be just drunk. She's intoxicated. Notice this. This is the guy who's supposed to be the leader of that temple. Let's continue. She replied, "May your servant find favor in your sight." So the women went on her way, and she ate, and her face was no longer sad. And they got up early in the morning, and they worshiped before Adonai. And they returned and came to their house in Ramah. Elkanah had sexual relations with his wife, and Adonai remembered her, and she conceived, and in due time she gave birth to a son. And she named him Shumiel, Samuel, because I asked Adonai for him. That was her heart's desire, above and beyond her relationship with her husband. Her heart's desire was to do that, to give that the fruit of her womb, to dedicate that individual to the Lord all the days of its life. You saw the children that came up here, and we stretched our hands towards them. We prayed over them. That's how we should entreat these children. We should honor them and see them as precious. We should dedicate them into the service of the Lord, because that is the next generation yet to be taking over this congregation in the future. Amen? They are precious. It says as a scripture, children are the inheritance of the Lord. And how we treat them, that's how we treat Yeshua. Are you praying for these children? If you're not, you should be. And I tell you this, there are spiritual mothers and fathers here. There are the flesh and blood mothers and fathers here. But you and I are spiritual mothers and fathers of these children. And we have a lasting impact on them that shall bless generations yet to come. But we have to be about our Father's business and being serious. We have a need in this congregation for people to volunteer as assistant teachers. I've spoken with these teachers here and I've said this, when I'm not speaking and if you need a break, I'll be back there. They are precious in the eyes of the Lord. And I ask everyone here, if the Lord speaks to you to come as a volunteer teacher in our Shabbat school, obey Him and He will bless you. You're investing in the next generation. Let's continue. The husband Elkanah went up with all his household. Notice that. He's a spiritual man. He had two wives, but he desired his whole family to go before the Lord and to know the Lord. This is the heritage that Samuel was born into. With all his household to offer the yearly sacrifice to Adonai and to fulfill his vow. But Hannah did not go up, explaining to her husband, "Not till the child has been weaned. Then I will bring him, so that he can appear before Adonai and live there forever." Should that not be our prayer for our natural children and also our spiritual children? That they may be in the house of the Lord and dwell there forever. And the house of the Lord, when I say this to you, is not this building. The house of the Lord is, we are the temples of the living God. And so when you go in the presence of these wee little ones, you're bringing the temple and the presence of the living God. And if you're allowing your carnal nature to rule over your spiritual nature, then that's what they'll see. That's what they'll perceive. And you know what? Children can read us like a book. You can put on false humility, you can put on false spirituality, and they see it and they read it. And you're laying the framework for the future for them to walk the same. When we're on here in Shabbat, we put on the spirit man, but as soon as we leave this place, what happens? We allow our carnal nature to crucify our spirit man. That's what happens. I've done it many times. Confess your sins to one another. Amen? Let's continue. "Then I will bring him up so he can appear before Adonai and live there forever." Her husband Elkanah answered her, "Do what seems good to you." You know what? When a wife made a vow, she had to go before her husband to get permission. But you see, this was the intimacy that these two people had in their household. He was the high priest of the household. And so he knew what she desired most of all. And he did not argue with her. He trusted her. That's what a beautiful marriage is to be in the Lord. Amen? If you're blessed to have a spouse who is a spiritual believer, you can trust them with your very life. Amen? That's the intimacy that the Lord says that you shall become one flesh with your husband and your wife. That's what the Lord desires. Because if I do not treat my wife as I should, as my sister and Messiah, I sin against God and I sin against her. Amen? Let's continue. He said, "Do what seems good to you. Stay here until you have weaned him. Only may Adonai bring about what he has said." See, he's endorsing. He's joining into prayer. He's saying, "Yes, I'm dedicating this son to the Lord." So the woman stayed behind and nursed the child until she weaned him. And after weaning him, she took him up with her, along with three young bulls, a bushel of flour, and a skin of wine. If you notice, when Aaron was dedicated to the Lord, they slaughtered a bull. Here this mother's bringing three bulls to be slaughtered, to be offered to the Lord for her son. Let's continue here. After weaning him, she took him up with her, along with three young bulls and a bushel of flour and a skin of wine. And they brought him to the house of Adonai in Shiloh. Even though he was just a child. Remember this. She's entrusting him into the house of the Lord. Before a spiritual man who's not walking in complete discernment and walking with the Lord. She knows about his two sons who've done evil in the sight of the Lord. But she's placing her son there so that he will develop a spiritual nature, seeing what is being manifested in the house of the Lord, decay. She trusted that the Lord would be there and that she trusted that Adonai would lead her son. Let's continue. After the bull had been slaughtered, the child was brought to Eli. And she said, "My Lord, as surely as you live, my Lord, I am the woman who stood here near you, praying to Adonai, and I prayed for this child, and Adonai has granted the request I asked of him. Therefore, I tell you, I have loaned him to the Lord, to Adonai, as long as he lives. She's giving a gift. Because I believe this in the spirit, she knows that Eli's two sons are going to be banished. Their sin's going to be dealt with. And she, out of the goodness of her heart, she desires for Israel to turn back to the Lord. And she's able to give her own precious child. The Lord did not promise her another child. But she says, Lord, I want to give you my best. My child. All that I desire. Is she not like Abba Father in this? Did he not give his son? Let's continue here. As long as he lives, he is alone to Adonai. And he prostrated himself before Adonai. And now here is her prayer. It's actually a song. Then Hannah prayed and said, my heart exalts in Adonai. My dignity has been restored by Adonai. I can gloat over my enemies because my joy at your saving me. No one is as holy as Adonai, because there is none to compare to you, no rock like our God. Stop your proud boasting. Don't let arrogance come from your mouth. For Adonai is God of knowledge, and he appraises all actions. The bows of the mighty are broken, while the feeble are armed with strength. The well-fed hire themselves for bread, while those who hunger, hunger no more. The barren woman has borne seven, while the mother of many wastes away. Adonai kills and makes alive. He brings down to the grave and he brings up. Adonai makes poor and he makes rich. He humbles and he exalts. He raises the poor from the dust and he lifts up the needy from the trash pile. He gives them a place with leaders and assigns them seats of honor. For the earth's pillars belong to Adonai, and on them he has placed the world. He will guard the steps of his faithful, but the wicked will be silenced in darkness. For it is not by strength that a person prevails. Those who fight Adonai will be shattered. He will thunder against them in heaven. Adonai will judge the ends of the earth. He will strengthen his king and enhance the power of his anointed. Elkanah went home to Ramah, while the child began ministering to Adonai under the direction of Eli, the Kohen, the priest. So here she was trusting her son to be a redeemer and a savior of Israel. That's great faith. Trusting in all that the Lord's going to do. That's what we should do in every aspect of our life. Look to the Lord. Trust him in everything that we do. That his kingdom would not only be established in our hearts, but in the hearts of every man, woman, and child we come across. That his name may be praised and lifted up. That we would put our carnal nature to death, and that our spiritual nature will arise. And then they will see that the hope that is in us, seeing Messiah being manifested as never before. 1 Samuel is a story of two men, actually three, Saul and David. These two men illustrate for us the two ways of in the heart of every believer desiring to serve Abba Father. There are ways of carnal nature, and there are the ways of faith in the Spirit. Saul is a man of carnal nature, and David is a man of faith in the Spirit. The carnal believer and the spiritual believer, they're at war with one another. The fact that both of these men were kings reveals to us the supremacy of the will of the human life. As the book of Hadassah, Esther shows to us, each one of us is a king over our kingdom. Not only are you the temple of the Most High God, but you are actually a kingdom. Does not the scripture say that there's a throne in the midst of our hearts? But who sits there? There are times I have to confess to you, my carnal nature has sat on that throne after becoming a believer. And the Holy Spirit would reveal that to me. There I would be dressed up in royal attire. And then the Holy Spirit shone the spotlight on me. And I saw myself dressed in filthy rags of my own self-righteousness. And when I saw that, immediately I fell before the presence of the Holy Spirit. Because God showed me where I was. And I had to repent. And I had to ask the Holy Spirit to fill my heart with His presence and allow Yeshua to come and sit on the throne of my life again. That has not just been a one-time occasion in my life. That's ongoing. Paul declared, "The very thing I desire to do, I do not." But the things I desire to do, those are the things I do. God wants us to be transparent one to another in all these areas. Our will is supreme in our own life. Even the Ruach HaKodesh, the Spirit of God, does not violate our own free will. That's why there's a great danger in our lives if we will allow our carnal nature to take over and sit on the throne of our lives. We are ruling over the kingdom of our lives and our conduct, over the things that concern us personally, and also the things that have an impact and influence on others. What you, the king, say and do influences the whole kingdom over which you reign. That influences people, the body of Messiah. If I'm operating in my carnal nature, it brings division to the body of Messiah. When I exalt myself, I put my brothers and sisters in Messiah down. And the Lord will not tolerate that. Amen? Like I said, this is a continuing message. So the Lord says, stop right now. Father, I stand before you and I ask, O God, that you would help me every day and help us put our carnal nature to death, that we would rise up new life in Messiah Yeshua. And I pray, O Holy Spirit, that you'd search our hearts in all these matters, that your will and that your kingdom will be established, that we would have true, righteous, and holy fellowship one with another. To your name be all praise and glory and honor. In Yeshua's name, amen.